morning, Orlando. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. Welcome to the best morning show in the Orlando area. Our question of the day, why wasn't Hillary prosecuted for sending over 100 classified emails? We're going to talk about that and more right now.
Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
We're going to start with our top three things you need to know today.
The weather will actually be one of the top three things you need to know this morning. High pressure will dominate the weather pattern today. It'll be another day with oppressive heat and humidity along with a few afternoon showers. The cells that do develop will be isolated in nature and still capable of very, very heavy rain. High temperatures will run in the mid-90s inland, low 90s on the coast. With the humidity factor, it'll feel like 101 to 106 degrees. For the 34th time, no one matched all six numbers to take home the Mega Millions jackpot last night. The jackpot was at $449 million. And no one won it. So the big prize is now $508 million. And finally, a man tied up, beat, and terrorized brother and sister in Deltona Tuesday morning. Those suspects are still on the run. Deputies responded around 7 a.m. to a call at Penton Court to find the house ransacked. They say men broke in just after the mother left for work and tied up the boy and girl. They were both beaten, and the teen was taken to Central Florida Regional Hospital in Sanford, where he's in stable condition. If you have any idea about the two suspects wearing black clothes and carrying backpacks, go ahead and give the Deltona Police Department or the Sheriff's Office a call. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward on this one as well. Those are the three things you need to know. We'll see, again, partly cloudy skies today, just a 20% chance of rain, and it will be hot, mid and upper 90s in the inland part of the state, low 90s along the coast. Right now, 84 degrees at 1440 WPRD.
This administration has prosecuted more people under the World War I Espionage Act than any other administration. Yet, the laws which apply to the rest of us apparently do not apply to Hillary Rodham Clinton. And while we normally don't talk about politics on this program, this merits discussion. The reason it does is not a party thing, has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. It has to do with what we're allowing in this country. What kind of corruption are we allowing in this country to continue occurring? Why do we keep voting these people into office that just ignore the laws, that ignore our requests for information, that ignore the people, that ignore the votes of the people? When are we going to stop doing that? When are we going to start taking some responsibility for who's in our administration? When are we going to start taking some responsibility for that? You have one of the most important rights of any country in the world. That's the right to vote. Are you going to exercise that right? Are you going to allow a person who believes she is above the law, who flat out lied? I would like to say, normally reporters say, and I'm not a reporter, but normally reporters say, the facts tell a different story. This is far above that. These are flat out lies. And I believe we have some sound clips we're going to play this morning, which show the difference between what she said and what the FBI guy said.
Any information that was marked classified at the time.
From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
At the time.
At the time they were sent or received.
Any information that was marked classified.
To contain classified information.
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
Eight of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time They were sent?
Any information that was marked classified.
36 of those chains contained secret information at the time?
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
And 8 contained confidential information at the time?
At the time.
We want to let you, as the listeners, respond to this. Our number is 844-544-8255. That's 844-544-8255. We want to hear from you. We want you to have an opportunity to respond. I mean, do you feel like this is wrong? Do you think, I mean, during her campaign, there have been so many different reports of her just doing whatever she wants, parking wherever she wants, doing whatever she wants to do. She obviously thinks she's above the law. And apparently she's right, because there's never been a more blatant situation where the law is being completely ignored. The intent factor. I mean, when you press send and send an email to someone, do you think you're intending to send it? Or do you think, oops, it's a mistake, over 100 times? And guess what else? They didn't find evidence of that on her computer, in her server, because everything was deleted. They found it on the email servers of the people she sent it to. They had to go do that to find it. Over 100 times, classified information. In addition to that, before the Benghazi thing happened, where all those people died, where the ambassador was dragged through the streets and sodomized, in 2012, there were very few emails about that part of the world from her. Prior to that, in the years prior, there were thousands of emails. So obviously, there was some reason she wasn't communicating about Benghazi. Why? I don't know. They were begging her to intervene. I believe literally hundreds of times they begged her to intervene, the people at the embassy. This is the person you want to elect to be the president of the United States? Really? Like I said, it's not about being a Democrat or Republican, because as a Democrat, if you are a Democrat, she's certainly not the most liberal Democrat I've ever seen. Her parents were Republicans. She decided to become a Democrat when she was part of the, as a student, a new lawyer, was part of the team that prosecuted Richard Nixon during Watergate. This is a person who obviously understands the law. She's a lawyer. And one of the things she did is she made members of staff her attorneys so that they were protected by attorney-client privilege, so they couldn't be asked questions. Then you've got Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch on an empty airplane in the middle of a tarmac on an airport with no press around. But of course, they were only talking about their grandkids. And then immediately after that, Hillary Clinton's not being prosecuted. 844-544-8255. I'd really like to know what you think, because I am incredibly frustrated this morning. I'm here with my husband and co-host, Michael Serio.
That's just one, or two, actually, of the lies that we've come to, you know, associate with Hillary Clinton, and why the trust factor is so low for this candidate. Do you remember when she came out of office, she said that she was dead broke, but in debt? Even PolitiFact found that to be false. Remember sniper fire during the 2008 campaign? Clinton said she came under sniper fire in Bosnia during the 1990s. She went so far as to claim that her group ran with our heads down to get into vehicles to our base. That's a quote. Video of her actual arrival surfaced, showing that it was a very calm scene, and Democrats would simply say that she misspoke. Do you remember she said she had immigrant grandparents? When discussing immigrant stories, she asserted that all of my grandparents came over here. Again, PolitiFact said it was false, as only one of her four grandparents, was an immigrant. She can't even tell the truth about her own name. She claimed to be named after Sir Edmund Hillary, one of the first men to climb Mount Everest. Problem was, Hillary was already 6 years old when Sir Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest. She even claimed to be a U.S. Marine, claimed to be turned down by the Marines when she applied in 1975. Washington Post had their own fact checker put into place there and quickly realized the absurdity that a rising legal star at the time would drop everything to ship off with the Marines, and they gave her what they called a couple of Pinocchios for her tall tale. And, of course, now the email scandal and Benghazi, the big one, where she failed to tell the truth about a terrorist attack that led 4 Americans to lose their lives in Benghazi. She claimed for weeks, standing over the flag-draped coffins of murdered Americans, that an insensitive YouTube video had incited the violence that occurred that night. Why? Because a terrorist attack on the anniversary of 9/11, which it was, would have destroyed President Obama's re-election chances. But hey, at the end of the day, it's worth it for Clinton to tell a politically expedient lie so long as her party can stay in power.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about an article that came out in TampaBay.com this morning that was printed from another major newspaper and details exactly what happened here. And also, we're going to talk about a shocking development that you haven't heard anywhere else about this, about a person who died. This person died who is going to testify. You definitely want to stay with us for that. And I still want to hear from you, 844-544-8255. Do you think this is right on any level? I mean, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, what you are. You know, we get in this two-party thing all the time. And this is really so far beyond that. This is about our country. This is about the people who run our country. And the way they obfuscate the truth and lie to us. It's happening more and more and more. We've got to do something about it. I'm not talking about a violent thing. I'm talking about from, you know, who we vote into office. Congress has been completely ineffective. We're going to talk more about that, too. So I want you to stay with us. You've been listening to the Daugherty Report. Good morning, Orlando. It's a somber morning for our country. It's a sad morning for our country that laws don't matter anymore. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Daugherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. Tweet us at Daugherty Report, and we'll read your comments on the air. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Daugherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Daugherty. Are you mad yet? Are you mad that you have to follow the laws, yet Hillary Rodham Clinton does not? That she gets to do whatever she wants? And is that the kind of president you want? It's not the kind of president I want. There's been so much corruption with these two, Mr. and Mrs. Clinton. So much corruption. I haven't even gone into what happened during their administration and the circular that used to go around among the Republican Party. And I'm not a Republican, okay? There's an article. It's in TampaBay.com this morning. It's from the Washington Post. I want you to hear the first couple of sentences. And you should actually read this. Here's the good news for Hillary Clinton. The FBI has recommended no charges be brought following the investigation of the former Secretary of State's private email server. Here's the bad news. Just about everything else. Because FBI Director James Comey laid out the case. And I want you to understand who this guy is. This guy was the Deputy Attorney General under Bush, 43. So I want you to understand where he's coming from. The reason he did what he did, the way he spoke, and I think we have some more sound clips here.
We do. We'll get into the sound clips in just a couple of minutes.
But the reason he did it the way he did it was he wanted to lay out the case that they would have had. They would have had if Loretta Lynch had been doing her job. But, oh, wait, she was busy on an empty airplane with the husband of the person they were investigating. Do you not see something wrong with that? Do you think that's proper? Do you think that's right? 844-544-8255. Maybe it's just me. But our country is being completely sold out right now. And you know who's doing it? You know who's really doing it? All the banks who support her and give her money. All the countries that are hurting our citizens that they're taking money from. Countries like Saudi Arabia, China, different places like that, that give to the Clinton Foundation. And guess what? He didn't even mention the Clinton Foundation when he spoke yesterday. Didn't even mention it. That there might have been something improper, that she might have made decisions as Secretary of State that affected the security and safety of our country because the Clinton Foundation was taking money from the very same countries that were putting our citizens in danger or hurting us economically. I'm blown away. Do you want to play a sound clip of some,
yeah, I do.
Some things
I've got,
that he said?
I've got some of the sound clips from yesterday's press conference. Here we go.
From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
Those three words, at the time, are deliberate.
Those are the important words because he took her exact quote.
Yes, he did.
It's worth playing again.
Mm-hmm.
The at the time thing, which is from a Trump commercial, actually.
It is. It's from a Donald Trump commercial that was released, produced and released yesterday. Listen to this. Oop.
Any information that was marked classified at the time.
From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
All right. See, there you go. At the time. That being the, those three words are key to this whole thing, because that was her entire defense, was the fact that some of these were reclassified as top secret after the fact. And what he is saying was at the time that they were sent, they were, and she knew that they were classified or top secret. And yet, they wound up on that server in a bathroom anyway. He did more damage to her yesterday by not indicting her.
Who keeps a server in their house in a bathroom?
No one. Unless you're trying to hide something.
Or was it in the other guy's
bathroom? Yeah, it was in someone else's. Yeah, the whole story is so convoluted. And now we're finding out it wasn't just one device, but it was several devices that she was using. We'll go through the... There's a whole list of seven things that there are now questions about based upon what she has told the media versus what he came out with and their investigation came out with yesterday.
This brings up more questions than answers.
Yeah. Like I said, he did more damage to her campaign yesterday by not indicting her.
And I didn't get to the person who died, but I will. And we're going to talk about Congress. We're going to talk about how this sets a precedent.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song. My power is turned up. Starting right now, I'll be strong. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
You're connected to the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Good morning, Orlando. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. I don't know if you remember Vince Foster, the guy who fell down a hill and somehow committed suicide. I got the guy's name wrong who was going to testify against Hillary. His name is actually John Ash, not Robert Ash. And he was a former president of the UN General Assembly. Not a slouchy job. There are two separate reports of his death. The official report was he died of a heart attack. The initial reports from the authorities said he had crushed his own throat in a workout accident. Just days before he was to testify against Hillary Rodham Clinton. Coincidence? I don't know. 844-544-8255. During the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton's administration, I believe there's a total of 49 people who had mysterious deaths. And like I said, there used to be a circular that was going around among the Republican Party detailing those deaths, including people like Ron Brown, Vince Foster. You know, 49 people who knew them is not a small amount of people. It's a lot of people. And now, she's not even elected again. Yet, I was going to say again, because to me they're the same. She's not even elected yet, and people are dying mysteriously. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Because My gut tells me there will be more. Because anyone who opposes the Clintons, something seems to happen to them. Maybe there's an angel flying around over their foreheads. I don't know. Just seems rather coincidental. Congress. You know, I love listening to the platitudes of Paul Ryan. I love listening to his little comments because that's all they are. They don't do anything. They're probably the most ineffective Congress I've ever seen. They pass a bunch of laws that affect us, but they don't police people who should be looked at. They don't do anything about the administration. They don't do anything about things like this. Aren't you tired of this yet? Why do we keep reelecting these people? You have the power when you vote to get rid of these people in Congress who do nothing except pass laws that affect us, that put more of our people in jail. Yet she walks. She walks. We're the little people who end up, you know, being subject to all the laws. And she's apparently above the law. 844-544-8255. This is wrong on so many levels, Michael.
You mentioned Congress, and one of the things that Congress has completely failed and gets a big, fat, red F on the top of their paper is to provide that checks and balances system that our Constitution calls for. It specifically calls for Congress to provide that monitoring of both the executive branch and the judicial branch to make sure that things don't get, you know, too one-sided. And yet that's exactly what's happened, is that they have indeed become too one-sided, that the administration has too much power, too much weight, and they're not doing anything about it. They're not doing a thing about it.
The biggest problem with this whole thing is this World War One Espionage Act, which has been amended several times, and lots of people have been prosecuted under it for lesser things, is that by not doing anything here, it creates what's called a precedent. That means in the future, somebody could say, well, you didn't prosecute Hillary, so why are you going to prosecute me? Why are you coming after me if you didn't come after her? People are going to be able to use that. That's not good. That's not good at all. So the damage this has done is great in many different ways. That's one way. But the reality is, the damage to her campaign is pretty great, too. Because she's still going to have to answer these questions. And she can sit there all day long and say, well, they investigated me and they said nothing was wrong. But that's not what they said. They said there were a lot of things wrong, but they didn't think they could prosecute. They didn't think any prosecutor would take the case. Do you think that's because of pressure from the administration? Because the same day this announcement came out from the FBI, President Obama was out campaigning with her. So he already knew what the outcome was going to be. I know there's a lot of people who don't like Donald Trump, who think he's, you know, loud and, you know, says too much of what he thinks and all that stuff. But really, Do you want somebody who is going to randomly do whatever they want to with classified information? And do you think she should have a clearance to know secrets like that? Anybody else in the military or for the administration, anybody else would have at least been fired and their clearance taken away. You're going to make this woman the most powerful person in the world? We're doomed. We're just doomed.
I don't think we're actually doomed. There are some, you know, some signs on the horizon that, you know, people are rising up. That vocal minority finally, that silent minority is finally waking up. By the way, I was doing some reading while you were talking. Obama, the president actually inadvertently put this whole thing into motion. Did you know that? Back in 2013, when the outgoing FBI director Robert Mueller was leaving, the president had two choices. He had narrowed it down to two people to take over the FBI. One of them was James Comey, who had served as the assistant deputy. He was the deputy attorney general under John Ashcroft in the Bush administration. And a woman named Lisa Monaco. Lisa Monaco was the other candidate for the FBI director's job. Lisa Monaco oversaw the national security issues at the Justice Department during the attack on the U.S. consulate at Benghazi, Libya. What would have happened? How different would this story have been if Lisa Monaco had gotten the job as FBI director? Someone who obviously would have been very, very friendly to Hillary Clinton. Someone who would have, you know, whitewashed it. Someone who would have come out and made that same statement yesterday, but not been so pointed. Somebody who would have come out yesterday and said, blah, 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 you know, we don't have any evidence, not enough evidence, you know, and would not have used the, you know, at that time. And those words, using Hillary's own words to mock and ridicule her and to set the stage for a lot more to come.
I believe we have a few more cuts.
Let's go through some of the cuts from yesterday's James Comey press conference. He said that, let's just play it.
Eight of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent. 36 of those chains contained secret information at the time, and 8 contained confidential information at the time. That's the lowest level of classification.
There's also a cut that they weren't necessarily worried about people accessing her servers to get information, but the people she was emailing back and forth with the classified information, they believe hackers gained access or could have gained access to that information.
All the cases prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information or vast quantities of information exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct, or indications of disloyalty to the United States, or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here.
How do you not see those things here? When you hit send, how is that not intentional? How is that not intentional?
Well, they're saying that they did not see any efforts to hack her servers. That's what he's saying that they didn't see.
But he's also saying that she didn't have any ill will towards the United States, yet all those people at Benghazi died. How is that being nice to people from the United States when they tried to call her literally hundreds of times and contact her hundreds of times to say there was a problem there?
Mm-hmm.
How is that not ill will? There's something really wrong here.
He goes on to say that this is the report that's being sent to DOJ.
Although the Department of Justice makes final decisions on matters like this, we are expressing to Justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case.
This is where I think he should leave, step down. I mean, I imagine this probably isn't his fault. I imagine he was probably told to let it go. And that's why he laid out his speech the way he did, to make sure people understood all the things she did do wrong.
And to subtly point out the political pressure that he was feeling not to move ahead with charges, because he also later went on to say that no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges against her, which I found very, very interesting. No reasonable prosecutor.
And why would that be?
Well.
Yet lots of other people have been prosecuted for basically the same thing.
Well, they would. He kind of is painting with a brush there that if somebody does go after her, they're being unreasonable. But I can see through it.
She emailed to people who were not in the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what did Petraeus do? Remember Petraeus?
Yes, indeed. General David Petraeus.
He basically talked to a person
mm-hmm.
who was not in the government.
That's correct.
Yet what happened to him? What happened to him?
He was busted. He lost rank. He lost retirement. You know, it was not good. They prosecuted him for one charge.
Yeah, this is over 100.
This is well
different
over
occasions.
That's correct.
This is arbitrary. This is a choice. This came from higher up saying, "Don't prosecute her." And I think that's wrong, because you're going to pave the way for somebody to be in the White House who's already knowingly given up classified information, whose foundation hasn't even been talked about. I guess it's his foundation, Bill Clinton's foundation. They didn't even talk about that and all the countries that have given to it. It's not individual people. And how much of that foundation money went to charity? I'll give you a clue. None. When we come back, we've got some more sound clips for you. Where's our country going?
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. With us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. In case you're just joining us, we've been talking about Hillary Rodham Clinton and how she gets a free pass. Doesn't have to follow the laws. Doesn't seem to really matter what she does. Nobody holds her accountable for anything. And she's running for president. We have another cut for you about how her actions were considered extremely careless.
Find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information. There is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
Yet, apparently she didn't break the law when other people that have done the same thing have been prosecuted. I don't know how that works. I mean, if you or I are down the road speeding, we get a ticket, right? She can give away classified information to people who don't even work in the government, and she's not taken to task at all. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
You know what it is? That press conference yesterday reminded me of someone who had a terminal illness, and you know they're sick, you know that they're going to die eventually, and you're prepared for it. We were all kind of prepared for, you know, for the inevitability of Hillary walking. I wasn't surprised by James Comey's announcement, but when the gravity hit me, when the patient died, and when that gravity of that, you know, that press conference sunk in, it had that same feeling. Oh my God.
It's the way he laid it out.
Yes.
That he said,
yes.
She did this and this and this and this and this,
mm-hmm.
which were all wrong. But we're not going to prosecute.
And he also said that, you know, it wasn't just one server. Listen to this.
Secretary Clinton used several different servers and administrators of those servers during her 4 years at the State Department.
She used several different servers. Several different servers. I mean, the security of this country, we have no idea how we've been compromised as a result of this nitwittery and her shenanigans and her trying to hide evidence.
Cut number 101
mm-hmm.
talks about how she should have known better.
Okay, let's skip over that one if we could, and I apologize.
Well, that's all right.
All right.
That's all right. You know, this is one of those things. I mean, we have so many cuts here because this was a pretty long press conference.
Yes,
that he
it was.
Gave. And seriously, if you listen to the whole thing, which I listened to most of it, he basically laid out the case of what he would have done to take her to, you know, to court and prosecute her.
If he were in the position to do so. I mean, this was brilliant. There are calls for him to be, you know, just, you know, run out of town on the rail. Hell no. I think that, you know, James Comey is a hero for the way he handled this.
I'm pretty conflicted about it. On the one hand, I understand he probably didn't want to lose his job and was told not to prosecute her. On the other hand, I might have done it anyway. But, you know, that decision probably wasn't up to him. Is probably up to Loretta Lynch, who is on an empty airplane with Bill Clinton.
Seven email chains concern matters that were classified at the top secret special access program at the time they were sent and received. Those chains involve Secretary Clinton both sending emails about those matters and receiving emails about those same matters.
And again, remember what she claimed, that she never either sent nor received any secret emails or messages that were deemed top secret, yet there that is.
That would be a lie.
That would be, yes. Yes. You can't say she's stretching the truth. It's just an outright lie and she knew it.
Yep.
You know, I can't help.
I don't know how she stays barred.
I have no idea.
As an attorney, if she is barred.
I can't help but think of the line, what did the president know and when did he know it? From the Watergate hearings that she was so famous for. What did the Secretary of State know, and when did she know it?
When we come back, after the news, we're going to talk a little more about this. We'll talk about some of the other news items today. You've been listening to the award-winning Daugherty Report. Good morning, Orlando. You've been listening to us on WPRD, The Voice.
This is the Daugherty Report with Elizabeth Daugherty on The Voice, AM 1440, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.
Welcome back to the Daugherty Report. We're going to talk about Pam Bondi and the money she accepted from Trump. We're going to talk about it right now.
You're the voice, try and understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Oh, 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 oh. We're not going to sit in silence. We're not going to live with fear. Oh, 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 oh.
This is the Daugherty Report with Elizabeth Daugherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Daugherty.
Good morning, Orlando. We'll get back to Hillary in a few moments here. But isn't it interesting that in New York, Donald Trump's being investigated for Trump University, yet here, after a donation was made to Pam Bondi, he is not. Why would that be? Why would that be?
I think one word that you used right there is what's being called into question. You said after, a donation after Pam Bondi and then, you know, no investigation. They're saying, what Bondi is saying is it was before. She had already made the determination not to prosecute him. So it was not a quid pro quo.
So how did she make that determination that quickly while we're sitting here waiting for the active ongoing investigation into the Pulse shooting?
Some decisions are made quicker and easier than others.
Without interviewing a single person. She just decided it had no merit.
And dismissed it.
Huh. Interesting.
So it was not a, okay, you're trying to decide, here's $25,000, see things our way. No, it didn't happen that way, according to them.
Okay.
You don't sound convinced.
I am not convinced.
I am not convinced.
844-544-8255. Do you not think there's something a little wrong with that?
There's something a lot wrong with it. There's a lot of things wrong with our governance right now.
We're getting a call. You're on the air at WPRD.
Good morning, Dorothy. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Very good, very good. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it, as always.
So what's going on?
Sure, always. I appreciate for you guys taking this show. And in reference to your question this morning, okay?
All right.
I mean, honestly, this is disgusting. That is all I can say. That's all I can say.
Which thing?
Okay, which thing? They now prosecute Hillary Clinton.
Right.
That means she's, she can do whatever she wants, and she will be free of any punishment.
Yeah, there's an article this morning.
So,
that says.
Yeah, so that's the reason why I become independent much before to her disability. So, that's the reason why I become independent. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, remember when I called you once?
Right.
And I mentioned you why I become independent. So now, that's the reason. Okay, because I'm not trust Hillary Clinton. Simple. You know, I trust I used to trust his husband, her husband. But I don't know. She never, ever convinced me for some reason. And now is the reason why. And she's not convincing just me. She's not convincing many people.
Are you talking about Hillary now?
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about Hillary. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So, this is amazing. I mean, in other words, justice has a color, green color. Okay. If you have a money, you're clear. If you don't have the money, if this thing, just like you say, you mentioned about General Petraeus, right?
Right.
Okay, he committed only one of these 110 cases. only one. And he prosecuted and he lost everything in his life, practically. So, I don't know. That's just, okay, I have a question for you, very important for you guys, both of you, okay?
Okay.
If you need to work, okay, if you need to, hold on one second. If you need to work, if you need to work, and Hillary campaign call you guys, they say, hey, Mike, hey, Dorothy, I have a part-time for you working for us as a campaign worker.
Right.
But you're not you're not agree with Hillary Clinton things, what she did to, you know, in her regular life. So you will accept that part-time job, even that you're not agree with her?
Say that last sentence again. I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit.
Even you will accept, you will accept a part-time position with her campaign?
No, I would not.
Even if you're not agree with her?
No, I would live in a tent first before I worked for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I'd live in a box that says Whirlpool on it before I'd work for Hillary Clinton on the side of the street, unshaven, whiskey bottles hanging out by the by the outside of the box. Ain't no way in hell. Okay, I would accept charity from churches and from passerbys and play a banjo.
Yeah, there's no way
before I'd go to work for a high paying job where Hillary Clinton.
No, I wouldn't do it. And
okay, so here respond my question. How about you?
I wouldn't do it. There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
That's no way, right?
No. And I understand.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. Well, I understand this guy. What's his name?
Which one?
The guy who wouldn't bring charges.
Oh, James Comey, the FBI director.
James Comey. I understand he might have been worried about his job. He might have been told not to go forward with any prosecution or recommend prosecution. But at the end of the day, you're going to end up putting her in office, and to me, this is one of the most corrupt people you could possibly put in office.
So, what do you expect from her as a president? If she do this as a candidate?
Right.
Exactly. Or as the Secretary of State, she's using the role of Secretary of State to say how experienced she would be in the office. Yet he says how carelessly, she handled these emails. How the hell would she handle being president? What then would be released?
You want this person on the nuclear button? Really?
Dear Lord,
that's a scary thought.
That would be a great concern for us as a citizen if she would become a president of the United States.
There you go.
We have no choice. What's another choice besides Clinton and Trump? That's my question.
I understand. Well. We appreciate your call, sir.
All right, thanks for calling. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. That opens up a line right now, 844-544-8255. We'd love to hear from you this morning as well, 844-544-8255. Here's the bottom line. Do you respect the law as a result of what was announced yesterday, that this person, Hillary Rodham Clinton, let this much information flow out against the law, and then there's not enough evidence. No reasonable prosecutor would take this case.
I don't believe that. I believe that's what he was told to say.
I understand that. But do you have less respect for the law and for the fact that there is justice in this country as a result of what happened yesterday?
I always have respect for the law. That's not really the issue. The issue is, it's scary to me that you and I have to follow the law or bad things happen, but she gets to do whatever she wants. That's what bothers me, is that she's obviously subject to a different set of rules than we are. And that's, at the highest levels of the government. But if you and I go down the street and we drive recklessly or we, speed.
Yeah, but I didn't intend to.
Yeah.
I knocked that pedestrian over and killed them, but I didn't intend to do it.
That is irrelevant.
I didn't intend to do it, though.
It's irrelevant.
I didn't intend to.
And it should be irrelevant in her case, too.
Yeah, but that turned out to be the deciding factor, was her intent.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to.
You know,
what does it matter?
I could even make the intent argument, because mm-hmm. she still pressed the send button on her email. So you intended to send those emails to people who didn't have the same level of respect for confidentiality. And you're emailing back and forth with these people. That's just wrong. It's wrong. There's no way you can try to dress it up and put lipstick on it and pretend it's not wrong. It's wrong. I could make either argument, whether it's gross negligence or intent. I could make either argument, and she was wrong on both levels. 844-544-8255. When we come back, we're going to take a little break from this story, because we have a special guest coming up at 8:30, a lawyer, who's going to talk about this. We've known him for a long time. He's amazing. But in the meantime, we'll talk about some of the news stories today you need to know about. Stay with us. You've been listening to The Daugherty Report.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is The Daugherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Daugherty Report, and visit thedaughtyreport.com for news updates, show highlights, podcasts, commentaries, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Daugherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Daugherty. Good morning, Orlando. In the Miami Herald this morning, there's an article about the 9/11 calls that are not being released in relation to the Pulse shooting. And basically, they're saying that they're inarguably public. These are public record phone calls. Yet we heard the FBI guy yesterday saying we're supposed to be patient and wait for their active investigation, and that they don't want to release them anyway because it might upset the families. Now, we've had a victim of the shooting on this program. He wants to know what happened. He wants to know why the 3 hours before the team came in and saved them. He wasn't there anymore. He managed to get out. But he wants to know what happened. So you can't tell me it's just about the families. And in the sheriff's report from Seminole County Sheriff's Office, major portions of it were blacked out, so you can't read it. I mean, what's the big secret here? I mean, if there was no second shooter, which I suspect there was, if there is no second shooter, why the secrecy? And also, there's an article yesterday about that guy's father, the shooter's father, saying he was going to celebrate the 4th of July and have a barbecue.
Yeah, that'll go down as one of the most asinine comments ever.
Oh, he was all smiles. He was in a very nice suit. This is the guy who supposedly is, you know, according to some reports, a CIA informant and running for president of Afghanistan, and certainly was dressed for it, standing between a Mercedes and a BMW, saying he was going to go have a barbecue. All smiles. Isn't that a little weird?
No, it's a lot weird. Where's the grieving father for the for his loss as well?
No mention of funeral, no mention of any of that stuff.
Nah.
And the question they still won't answer at the highest levels of our state government is, was that back door padlocked so people couldn't get out? They won't answer that question. Why not?
And the big question I had, based upon our conversation with that victim, were there metal detectors in place at that front door? We were told that there were.
He says there weren't.
He says that they weren't. There weren't. And where were the first shots fired? Were they fired inside the club, or were they fired outside between the shooter and the security guard that was working that night? How did it start? Where did it start? I mean, the whole sequence of events is still, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just slow. Maybe, you know, I didn't get up.
No, you're not being told the facts.
I just can't piece this together.
How can you?
Based upon the little crappy timeline that they're producing.
The FBI guy said, oh, we're going to give you, you know, a little transcript. But, I mean, anybody could write that.
But at the same time,
I'm not saying that they made it up or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, you should back it up with actual recordings. And you could make us sign an agreement that says we won't, you know, broadcast it. That's okay with me. I'm not trying to capitalize on, you know, the deaths of other people. I'm just trying to understand what happened. That's all. I think it'd be irresponsible to broadcast, you know, those calls. And I wouldn't do it. Because that would upset the families, potentially. But we can't piece together what happened when they are being unwilling and intractable in giving us, you know, no information. And, you know, he tried to make everybody feel bad, saying, you know, I know media outlets want this information, but, you know, we don't want to upset the families, and, you know, they should be patient. They should wait until our active investigation is over. What are you investigating? What are you investigating?
How long does it take? How long does it take to write the story of what happened that night?
Well, you know how long it took Pam Bondi to investigate Trump? About 30 seconds. Thanks for the check. For $25,000.
You're so cynical in the morning.
I'm cynical all the time. Stay with us.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. With us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. It's 7:33. Hope you're having a good commute to work this morning. It's going to be freaking hot today. Really hot.
Freaking hot.
So, I don't know if you heard the story about PBS and their fireworks display. But basically, it was supposed to be a live broadcast. They had tweeted out they were going to have a live broadcast of the fireworks on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Well, it rained in Washington. And I believe they still had the fireworks. But what they decided to do was replay portions of a previous fireworks display. But they didn't tell anybody. And apparently, that is an FCC violation. Is that right, Michael?
That is indeed. You can't put on a broadcast and say, this is live from the National Mall. It's the 2016 fireworks. And then run highlights from 2012, 2014. You can't do that. You can't create the image that something is live when indeed it is not. Just like you can't run a commercial on the radio that says, hey, we're live here at the, blank dealership, for the big sale. If you're not broadcasting live, you can't fake remote broadcasts. The FCC takes a dim view of, faking things on the radio. And that's exactly what they did. They faked a 4th of July broadcast and a fireworks show. And it's hilarious that it's PBS.
That's the hilarious part.
Yeah.
I mean, you would expect that from,
Joe's Broadcasting Company would even
right.
know better.
But not PBS.
I mean, they have broadcast attorneys that would tell them, don't do that. Let me put it this way. If you, Elizabeth, came to me and said, hey, I want to create a commercial where it sounds like we are live at a client's location, I would say, well, there's an FCC rule that says you can't do that. You know what this comes down to? Lack of training, lack of education. Back in the day, you had to take a test. You had to take a test and you had to get a license if you wanted to be a radio TV operator. And it included some of the basic rules, not all of them, but some of the basic rules of FCC law, FCC rule. You had to know it. Well, they did away with that back during, believe it or not, the Reagan administration. And as a result, you get dim-witted things like this happening. And nobody bats an eye.
Now, we, like I said before, getting back to the Pulse shooting for a second, we did an interview with one of the victims mm-hmm. who was shot 4 times. And he's 26 years old and he's on a walker. And it was his birthday the next day.
Yep.
I mean, I just couldn't even handle that. Well, apparently someone wrote a letter to the local newspaper saying that people were covering the Pulse shooting too much and crying on the air and being emotional. I mean, I did almost lose it on the air when I was talking to this guy because I felt so badly for him and Michael had to take over. And I mean, I rarely do that, but this has been so difficult in our community for a lot of reasons. But I couldn't believe this guy wrote this letter.
Do you have the letter in front of you?
No, I do not.
I do. The Pulse Nightclub Massacre. This was a letter to the editor of the local newspaper. It says, the Pulse Nightclub Massacre was a horrible, sad, terrible, and tragic. We all know and feel that. However, I think the media are doing it a disservice. For 3 weeks, the headlines have blared and continued to blare some aspect of the tragedy above the fold. It's become too much. A tearful ad by organizations, corporations, lawyers, you name it, expressing their sorrow and getting their names in front of the public. It just goes on and on. It's becoming almost trivial because it's grossly overworked. People get killed in Orlando almost daily, and people of all ethnicities and all sexual persuasions. But is money raised for them? No. Do they get pages and days of mourning and media attention and vigils? No. So it seems the primary difference is the number of people killed. If it's only one or two, then they get little, if any, recognition. But 49 all at once, or one or two at a time, don't deserve the same sympathy as 49 at a time. I wonder what their parents, wives, families, and significant others, partners, etc., think and feel. The continuing overwhelming attention paid to this horrible tragedy by the Sentinel, in my opinion, is starting to do more harm than good. Oversaturation is not a good thing.
We don't even know what happened yet. And we're not supposed to ask questions?
This is a terrorist attack, sir. This was a terrorist attack.
Do we know
attack.
This is a guy?
I.
Is it signed?
It's signed, but I'm not going to,
We don't need to divulge who it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him,
No, I wouldn't give him airtime.
Hell no.
But.
This was a terrorist.
Really?
Okay.
You think people are trying to commercialize this and capitalize on it? This is what we're supposed to do. This is why we're here. And it's not just being covered locally. This is worldwide news. I mean, get a grip, dude. Do you think it's been easy? I mean, the families are grieving. People have lost their lives. It happened right here in our community. I have a particular connection to that community because my brother was very active in that community. I mean, did it seem easy for me to cover that, Michael?
No, it wasn't easy. It still isn't easy for you to talk about it. 3-4 weeks, almost 4 weeks later now.
I mean, for at least a week, I was crying every day, not on the air. Just over the whole thing. So, before you, you know, armchair quarterback the media for doing their jobs, why don't you try doing this?
You know, and part of the problem is the fact that we don't have the full story yet from the investigators because it's an active and ongoing investigation. If they were to release the final report and tell us what happened, there would be less of the, you know, there would be less, and I don't want to use the word speculation because we're not speculating, but there would be less of the storytelling. Maybe, you know what it is? He used the word tearful. Tearful interviews. This is a heartless son of a bitch who doesn't really care about people.
I'm pretty much the only one that did a tearful interview because I was pretty much the only one that I'm aware of. Maybe I'm wrong because I didn't listen to all the shows, but I was one of the only people that talked to one of the victims. And yes, I was a little tearful. So I take that personally. I mean, why don't you try sitting in this chair?
He can't. That's why he sits at home and, you know, is a keyboard warrior and writes letters to the editor. He doesn't call the radio or TV stations, but he'll write to the newspaper and blah, blah, blah. I have zero respect for this fool.
I love these people. They sit behind their keyboards and they pot shot at people, mm-hmm. you know, and they say nasty things. You try doing what we do during a crisis like that.
I mean, the job is to bring news and information to the public. And again, I hearken back. This was a terrorist attack on United States soil. 49 people died right here in our front yard, in our living room. By God, we've got an obligation to tell you what happened.
And we hardly slept for a week just trying to keep up with everything and read everything. We empathized with families. We, you know, cried for them. We, you know, tried to give them some airtime. We tried to...
You put a face on this tragedy. That's what you did.
It's actually with the help of our producer, Gabe, who's been amazing. But, I mean, that's just so wrong on so many levels. You want to say I'm cynical? That's cynical.
That's cynical. That's cynical. And you know what? You're right. I have seen businesses put up billboards, electronic billboards, you know, that do include their name. There's an attorney that put up a billboard. It's on I-4 right at Colonial. He took down his normal billboard that is there and put up a special one. But his name is in small print, and it's a white billboard with the Orlando United hashtag and, you know, white background. That's all it is. And it didn't strike me as him trying to connect himself with the tragedy in some way for commercial purposes. It, in my mind, said, this guy lives here. This guy works here. He has a business here. And he feels for this community. That's the way I looked at that billboard. You know, and I'm pretty cynical. I'm a pretty dark, cynical person by my very nature, and my wife will attest to it.
Well,
but
we both are. I mean, when you read news every day, which is what we do, when you have to read all this negative news every day, and I was talking with someone about this yesterday, it gets to you after a while. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a long time now.
But we're nowhere near as ridiculously cynical as this jerk.
No, we try to be nice to people. We try to give people a place where they can vent and talk about their feelings. And we sit here and we eat it. We eat that emotion. And we just, you know, stand here and take it all in.
And by the way, I do agree with him on one thing. The victims of violence, you know, one or two at a time, do deserve more attention. You know, they do deserve more attention. And the people who commit the crimes deserve to bear the public shame of doing, you know, committing those crimes. And those families should also bear some responsibility as well. You know, because...
You're talking about the family of the shooter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This guy is just walking around. The father is just walking around like nothing happened. That really aggravates me.
There should be more public shame for the people who commit these crimes. For committing any crimes. Because you created, you as a family member, you as a mother, you as a father, created this person who does not have respect for other people and the rule of law in our country. And as a result of their crimes, you should be publicly shamed for it as well. And maybe if you were, maybe if your boy Johnny was the one who stole the car and, you know, shot at the police, maybe, and, you know, ended up dying in a shootout with the cops. Maybe if you, as Johnny's parents, were shamed more publicly, there'd be fewer Johnnies on the street doing such a thing. Because parents would get the message, don't let your kids turn out this way.
Well, you said CARE came out.
Yeah. The Council of
Arab-Islamic Relations.
Yeah, exactly.
And putting these
groups and these educational programs in place at the mosques in South Florida.
Well, it'd be nice if they did it here, where this happened. Wouldn't it?
And at the same time, where's the outrage from their community about this type of behavior of these radicalized Islamics? And don't just pay it lip service. Oh, we find this to be tragic and horrible. No.
I want to hear some outrage.
I want to hear some freaking outrage. I want to hear you doing something about it, that you're corralling these people that you suspect in your own community.
I mean, why would you formulate groups in South Florida when what happened in Central Florida?
Well, it happens all over Florida. I mean, think of it this way. Muhammad Atta trained here. A couple of the 9/11 suspects.
Yeah, Embry-Riddle over in Daytona. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
It's a hotbed of you know, radicalized Islamic terrorism. A training ground is basically what Florida has turned into.
That's not to say there's not a lot of nice Muslim people.
Of course.
There are some very peaceful, you know,
loving people.
Right.
Families, you know, that have settled here.
As a rule.
Who've assimilated.
Right. But there's that small faction that is dangerous. And unless the mosques start finding out who those people are, because we can't go in there, you know, we're not of that religion. So we're not, I don't think we're really welcome there.
And the law is Congress shall make no law establishing a religion or, you know, the exercise thereof. Congress just can't pass law saying we're going to go into the Islamic mosques. It's a violation. You can't do that. We don't do that. We don't treat religions that way in this country.
There's only one way you can do it. And I'll tell you what it is when we come back.
Perfect timing, by the way. Nicely done.
It's not my first radio. You've been listening to the Daugherty Report right here on WPRD, The Voice.
Lines are open right now, 844-544-8255, 844-544-TALK. This is the Daugherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
Elizabeth during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. So, you know how you have bacon for breakfast and stuff, right?
You had me at bacon.
I know. Try waving a piece of bacon in front of a dog. They'll do whatever you want. They'll follow you around everywhere. Anyway, so the contention is that Canadian bacon is really not bacon.
It's not. It's basically a piece of ham. I knew that.
Exactly. So.
Yeah?
It's not even made the same way. Because bacon is basically the pork belly, you know, sliced up.
Right.
I hope our guest isn't listening because I don't think he eats bacon. Anyway, it's cured and then sliced.
Oh, it's heaven on a plate.
But Canadian bacon really is more like a ham. And when I make Eggs Benedict, you know, that's the English muffins with a piece of Canadian bacon, a poached egg with hollandaise sauce on top.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of my favorite things to eat. I don't use Canadian bacon. I use thinly sliced Westphalian ham or Black Forest ham. I learned that from the chef that trained me how to cook. He said, no, don't use Canadian bacon. So I apologize if you're Canadian and you're offended in some way. But it's too hard to cut. That's the problem with it. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. I know the first. I remember the first time I had Canadian bacon. I was on a church tour bus, tour group, and we were traveling in South Georgia. And the host family that we were staying with served Canadian breakfast to or Canadian bacon to us for breakfast. And it was like, what is this? You know, when it was like, get the saw out to try to cut it. It was bad. It was bad. I love the flavor. You know, the flavor's nice. It's just, it's like, you know, nah. You can't call that bacon.
It's an excuse for bacon.
Hey, I got a story here.
Go ahead.
In Phoenix, they've come up with a, the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration. I thought that the S stand for slowdown. I thought that's what the S stood for in the TSA. Anyway, they're going to start using the same type of CAT scan units that you use in the hospitals to start scanning luggage instead of humans doing it. It's going to be an experiment to see if they can speed things up.
Yeah, I read that this morning.
Yeah, that they're going to use CAT scan and they're going to scan your luggage. Rather than, you know, a human, you know, searching through.
As long as they don't scan us with the CAT scan.
Yeah.
Because your risk of brain cancer goes up the more CAT scans you get.
It says CAT scanners are already used to screen checked baggage. The process is mostly automated, and then security workers will check a bag if something seems suspicious. Yet how many times have we traveled and we find the little tags on the inside? Your bag was searched by the TSA. So apparently they're going to use the machines on it to see if they can speed everything up now.
So there were 500 people on a plane in Russia, big plane. And this woman demanded to get off the flight because she decided she wanted a divorce from her husband.
Right then and there?
Right then and there. That was it.
You are awful, Victor. I want off this plane. Now.
Time for divorce.
Open the door.
So the passengers were furious because it took 7 hours to get another flight.
Jeez.
So she wasn't very popular on that plane, I can tell you that. And I don't know if she and her husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, flew on the same flight the second time.
I can't imagine. I mean, if, you know, if one of us did the stunt to the other person, I don't think I want to, you know, I don't think I want to, you know, continue the round trip back with you if you break out into, you know, I want a divorce now and demand that the plane, you know, stop and let you out.
Wow. I can guarantee if you and I said we were getting divorced, we're not going to be on the same plane.
No.
That'd be a very bad idea. Stay with us. On the other side, we've got a special guest coming up for you, a lawyer who's going to break down the Hillary Rodham Clinton situation for us from a legal perspective. Stay with us.
This is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.
Welcome to Hour 3 of the Doherty Report. Our question today is about Hillary Rodham Clinton. Do you think she's getting a free pass? We have a special guest coming up at 8:30, an attorney to talk about it. We begin right now.
Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
We'll get to Hillary in a moment, but first we have a caller on the line. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you? I understand you have a question about the Pulse shooting.
I do. I love the show. I'm enjoying what you're doing. I just had a quick question. I know you've been talking for the last few days about you really want the tapes. You want the 911 tapes. You want the uncut, unreleased tapes. And I, too, want the truth in the end about what happened in Pulse. But I'm just wondering, what do you want so immediately that can't wait until the FBI is done with their investigation?
Well, we have two or three basic questions that were really brought up when we did an interview with one of the victims. One of them is... Was the door padlocked, the back door, so people couldn't get out? We've heard conflicting reports about that. Was there a second shooter? We still don't know the answer to that question. And initially they said there was a metal detector at the door. We heard conflicting reports about that. The victim said there was no metal detector, so the guy just walked in with this huge gun. And then also the three-hour delay before the major
right.
team went in.
But I would understand that in any major investigation, whether it be during 9/11, it's going to take time to get to the bottom of these things. And with 49 victims and all the other people that were wounded, there's going to be there's a lot of things going on during the shooting. I mean, there's going to be a lot of differences in stories until we get to the end of the investigation. Is that correct?
Sure, absolutely. But to me, if the guy is dead, the shooter's dead, I'm not sure exactly what else you're investigating.
Well, don't you think, I know you're saying that... You're worried about the victims' families. Don't you think releasing some of this information so soon is going to be just as upsetting to the families, as, I don't know, I think it could go either way. I think it could be just as upsetting for this information to come out too quickly and too incomplete. Because even during, how can you trust a 911 call, a person's in the middle of a shooting? I'm not sure what kind of information I don't understand what kind of information you think is going to come out of that. It's going to answer if there was a padlock on the door. I don't think at this juncture, less than a month after the shooting, you can set those kind of conclusions. It just scares me to release the information too quickly, I guess.
Well, two things, and I think you bring up good points, and I appreciate your call, but two things. When we talked to one of the victims, who's 26 years old, he was shot four times, and he's using a walker now. I asked him, I said, would it be upsetting to you to find out exactly what happened? And, you know, families might differ in their opinion of this. I don't know. He said he wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah, I just wanted to hear what you had to say about it, and just want to let you know I'm a big supporter of the show, love what you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks. I mean, we just try to be a mirror to the community to say, mm-hmm. you know, and it seems to me, maybe it's just me, but the more we go along doing these stories, and this isn't the only one that we've experienced this with, there seems to be less and less information. And as far as the padlock thing, the only reason I was asking that question is we've gotten differing reports, and there was a guy
right.
standing by the exit next to this padlocked door, supposedly, and he was on Megyn Kelly's program
mm-hmm.
saying he was afraid to let people out, which makes no sense to
right.
me. So
right.
we're just trying to answer the questions. We really appreciate you listening. And I do understand what you're saying.
And I will continue to listen. I appreciate what you're doing.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Take care.
By the way, one of the things that is most puzzling about this whole story in the way that the information is being released is on the city's own website. They have set up a page called Pulse Tragedy Public Records, and it's they have a list of bullet points of different things that have been released, text messages, fire and police records, and then Buddy Dyer's emails. But the very first item on that list is a letter from the FBI, and we talked about this a few days ago. And this is what, in my opinion, is being glossed over.
Okay.
Okay, we talked about this. Why is it that the FBI field office in Tampa, which has jurisdiction over this case, because the Tampa office, you know,
handles all of Central Florida
and Orlando, they've advised government agencies that are handling this case not to disclose information at this time. And then it goes on to say that the FBI, and I'm going to read this, the FBI therefore requests that you direct requesters seeking records or information pertaining to the investigation to the FBI for such information. We further ask that you immediately notify the FBI of any request your agency receives. So not only do they want, does the FBI
want
to control the outflow of information,
sure.
but they also want to know who wants to know what's contained in those public records.
I understand. And, you know, I was looking through the information that was released by the mayor's office to see if our email was in there, because we respectfully requested the information, and you know, we were basically told no.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a reason why 25 different media outlets are suing the city to find out this information. It's not because anybody wants to upset the families. And I would not broadcast that information. I would not broadcast audio cuts of the shooting.
No, of course not.
I just wouldn't do that.
No. That's not what we do. But there are just some answers about this, or some questions.
It's just to verify some of the conflicting information we've heard.
Right. We just want to answers to some of these questions, these lingering questions, as to how this happened. And yes, I understand eventually, an entire report will be issued. And we've already learned that they're going to use the format that they used in the San Bernardino case as the template for how this will be released to the public.
And you have to realize, too, that the 28 pages from the 9/11 report, those 28 classified pages, that was in 2001. That was 15 years ago, and they still haven't been released. So, you know, believing that this is only going to take a couple of years, I'm a little skeptical about that. They may never be released. They may just hold out long enough that everybody pretty much goes away. That's my concern, is that it's just going to get swept under the rug, and then we might be at risk of it happening again. And one of the things I didn't bring up with the caller is that the father, according to some reports that we've read, is a CIA informant and running for president of Afghanistan. I mean, don't you think that's a little concerning? This is not a conspiracy theory or anything. It really isn't. But I just think that's a little odd that there would be that kind of a connection. It reminds me of the Hinckley thing.
Sure.
Where the Hinckley family was friends with the Bush family, and all of a sudden Reagan gets shot.
And yet the media was very, very quiet at the time about that connection between the Bush family and the Hinckley family.
Yeah. And even in Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Reagan, that particular chapter, it looked like the editor just cut it off after two paragraphs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As someone who has, you know, been a writer, I could recognize that they basically just edited out most of that entire chapter.
They said, Bill, you're not going to publish this.
Yeah. Even though it's true. Even though the Hinckley family was good friends with the Bush family. And that night,
Neil Bush was supposed to go out to dinner with John Hinckley's brother.
Right. So, you can't discount the fact that sometimes there are some very odd connections. I'm not making any conclusions based upon that, but I do think it's rather odd. The reports I've read about this kid's dad and the fact that he was all smiles, the father, saying he was celebrating the 4th of July and having a barbecue. He was all smiles in his suit, sport coat and pants, tie, all this stuff.
He was very dandily dressed. Is that the right word?
I guess.
Dandily. Dandy.
I don't know if that's a word.
It is now. You know what I mean.
Standing between his Mercedes and his BMW.
He was very dapper.
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 Exactly.
Uh-huh.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Hillary going into the bottom of the hour with our guest.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. You better move. You better dance. Let's make a night. You won't remember. I'll be the one. You won't forget.
A diggity dog. I have them like Miley Cyrus clothes off, twerking in their bras and thongs. Timber. Face down, booty up. Timber. That's the way we like the wood. Timber. I'm sicker than an oil spill. She say she won't, but I bet she will. Timber.
Swing your partner round and round. Ending the night is going
it's
down.
Going down.
Like the Doherty Report? Then like us on Facebook. Go to ElizabethDoherty.com and click the window into her Facebook page. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the award-winning Doherty Report. What does Trump think of all this? He made a commercial. It's cut number 222, Michael.
She was extremely careless. That's a tremendous word. You didn't have to be careless. You didn't even have to really know that what you were doing was wrong and you're guilty. Because we're talking about serious stuff. We're talking about the lifeblood of our country. We're talking about the safety of our people. The laws are very explicit. Stupidity is not a reason that you're going to be innocent. Okay? It's not a reason.
Ouch. That must have hurt.
Stupidity is not a reason. I love that.
Well, that was a great cut. That wasn't the cut I was thinking of.
Oh, I tell you what, give me a half a second here, and I think I can get to pull that
he
up.
He made a commercial.
Yes.
Comparing.
Got it. Ready?
The FBI to what she said.
Go.
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
At the time.
At the time they were sent or received.
Any information that was marked classified.
To contain classified information.
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
Eight of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent.
Any information that was marked classified.
36 of those chains contained secret information at the time.
I did not send or receive any information that was marked classified at the time.
And eight contained confidential information at the time.
At the time.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
I did not have sexual
relations. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. Now I got to get back to work for the American people.
That's what it
what
sounds
like. What is wrong with these two?
There's something seriously wrong. First of all, I'm pretty convinced they have an open marriage.
I don't even want to think about that.
Well,
No. On a couple of different levels.
Look at
levels,
a picture of Hubble. Put a picture of Hubble.
Of Webb Hubble.
Webb Hubble and Chelsea Clinton right next to each other. And look at them. And tell me there's not a very strong resemblance there.
The baby daddy resemblance. Is that what you're saying? Without saying it?
We need the baby daddy test. We gotta
Webb
put
Hubble.
Him on...
Hey, put him on Maury.
Put him on Maury.
Webb Hubble, you are the daddy.
You are the daddy. So, yeah. I mean, there's just something weird about the whole relationship.
Yes, there is.
She doesn't seem to care that he does stuff.
I don't even want to think about it.
But she's a champion of women's rights.
That's right.
By champion.
The way, last night on the campaign trail, they both were in North Carolina. Trump had a big, huge rally in North Carolina, and he evoked the name Bernie Sanders.
Who's the most angry about this? I think the one with the most to lose is Bernie Sanders. Because, honestly, he was waiting for the FBI primary.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He just lost today the FBI primary.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. He lost the primary there.
Bernie Sanders is at home drinking, you know, whiskey right now. Going, it's over, man.
I came this close.
I worked so hard. It's over now.
Trump says that this whole thing has put lives at risk.
The lives of the American people were put at risk by Hillary Clinton so that she could carry on her corrupt financial dealings. Probably that's probably why she didn't want people to see what the hell she was doing.
Well, there's some truth to that, because
yes,
they didn't even mention the Clinton Foundation when, you know, the FBI came out and said what they said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even mention the Clinton Foundation and all the donations from all the different countries that we don't consider to be friends of ours.
No.
I mean, the American people don't. I don't know about the administration, but, you know, places like Saudi Arabia and China. When did these 28 pages finally come out? And if you want to hear that interview that we did with Senator Bob Graham about the 28 pages, because he was one of the authors of the 9/11 report, he's pretty vocal about it.
Final cut right now. This is Trump talking about how he sees the entire judicial system and how it's played out here.
Today is the best evidence ever that we've seen that our system is absolutely, totally rigged.
Yeah. I think Bernie Sanders agrees with you. It's totally rigged. I mean, they just do whatever they want. And wait till the convention. What I've been reading about the convention, the Republican convention,
mm-hmm,
should have you concerned. There's going to be a huge
attempt to try to steal the nomination.
Yes.
All right, we'll watch and see. All right, special guest coming up in just a moment. It's an old friend of the program. His name is Lionel from LionelMedia.com with some comments and thoughts about what James Comey said yesterday.
He's an amazing attorney. Stay with us. You don't want to miss it.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
Wish we could turn back time.
The Doherty Report is back. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. We have a very special guest on the phone, Lionel from Lionel Media. He's a prestigious attorney from New York, originally from Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you.
So, give us the lowdown on the Hillary Rodham Clinton thing. We've been talking about it on the program, and
it's rigged.
Well, yeah.
The fix is in. It's corrupt. But it's not the only time we've seen this. Bush against Gore was corrupt.
Yep.
When black people, poor people, those who are unrepresented are given the death penalty or have cops lie on the stand. When children are... I mean, look, this is just another stitch in the tapestry of corruption. It's not only Hillary Clinton, but it's criminal, it's putrescent, it's sickening. And this woman and her husband flaunt the system, and everybody should be disgusted.
Yes.
Simple.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does this relate to the Espionage Act of 1917? Is that what they were trying to go after her for? Or do you know?
No, not at all. Even easier than that. Even easier. Under a host of statutes, from Title 18 of the USC United States Code to Freedom of Information Acts to executive orders to internal orders, it's very, very simple. If you, and I'll just paraphrase it.
Okay.
If you provide or allow sensitive, secure information to be placed in a negligently or grossly negligently or carelessly put into a system where it is not secure, very, very simple. It doesn't require intent. It says negligently. Negligence,
right,
is the
gross
opposite
negligence
of intent.
Exactly.
So you know, there was a great jurist, Saul Wachler from New York, said years ago that a good prosecutor could indict a ham sandwich. And everybody always refers to it. What this was basically Comey, who you don't get to be director of the FBI by not knowing how to play the game.
Right.
List this gravamen, this bill of particulars. Basically providing Donald Trump with a laundry list of everything he can go after, claiming and stating and showing that Hillary Clinton is grossly, wantonly negligent. And then he says, however, no prosecutor really would go after this. Are you kidding me?
Why wouldn't they?
Ask General Petraeus. Ask
right.
Deutsch from the CIA. Do you have any idea of the overkill when it comes to secrets and individuals, whistleblowers, who have been pilloried by this administration? And he has the unmitigated audacity to say that no prosecutor would ever bring charges? Are you kidding me?
I
my jaw is still slack. Now,
yeah.
Here's what I want you, your listeners, and everybody to understand. Number one, what Comey said was, it is my recommendation. And by the way, I've got to tell you something. I've never heard of this. Where they tell you, we're recommending that the case be closed because there's nothing here. Because Loretta Lynch so contaminated the system by her tarmac tete-a-tete with Bill.
Yeah, what was that?
She basically, now either you could say this is sloppy or the greatest Machiavellian inside job ever. I don't know. But She said, that was stupid, I shouldn't have done that. That was done deliberately so that you could see it.
To taint
it. Because the Clintons want you to understand that they don't need no stinking badges. They don't need no stinking laws. They do whatever they want. Do you mean to tell me that Bill Clinton could not have gotten on the phone or talked to Loretta Lynch or he had to have her be seen with him? It was to let you know. It was to send a message out.
That's what Michael said. Yep.
But so anyway, so what she did was she goes, okay, my bad, as the kids used to say.
Right.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to recuse myself, even though everybody and their mother has been screaming for an independent prosecutor. But to show you how independent I am, I'm going to just take the word and follow the order of the FBI.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute! That's not what you do! You're the prosecutor!
Right.
You don't listen to the FBI. The FBI are like the cops. When you have your home burgled and the police come and they investigate, they then turn the facts over, the evidence, the statements, the witness statements, they turn the case over to your state attorney or district attorney, and your local DA decides whether to charge the person. Now, granted, the police have, you remember, the FBI or the federal police, the police have a great say in terms of discretion,
sure.
But they don't call the shots.
No.
You've got the attorney general saying, basically, I will rubber stamp whatever the FBI does, and then the FBI says, we're recommending nothing be done. I mean, it's not even funny, but here's what he didn't tell you. He didn't tell you that they were granting her immunity, or, which is another story, or that he is not investigating or she's off the hook for any perjury that she committed or lying to the FBI. Because remember,
she did commit perjury.
Martha Stewart. Pardon me?
I was thinking about Martha Stewart, and it's the lying that they usually get you on.
Yes. Martha Stewart was not found guilty of insider trading. She was found guilty of talking to the FBI, or lying, rather. So, and how in the name of God does Hillary Clinton ever speak before the entire, I mean, for 3.5 hours, and she's not granted immunity, or she doesn't take the Fifth Amendment? This case, none of it mirrors real life. None
right.
of it. It is so rigged. It is
fixed,
so
yep.
staged.
Yeah, I don't think they ever had any intention of prosecuting her. And then on the same day, you know, this announcement comes out, President Obama is campaigning with her.
It's as though she said, I mean, look, what do you think the likelihood would have been? And before we get to this, she's on his plane. Who's paying for that? This is a campaign trip. She's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, which she siphoned from the Saudis into the Clinton Foundation.
Yep.
I mean, look, her criminal conspiracy, they make the Gambino family look like the Junior League.
Yeah,
come
you're
on.
Right. You're right.
Now,
and
so you mean to tell me there was a remotest of possibilities where as she's about to appear, Comey gets up and says, we are announcing, now think about this, just for a second. What if he says, look, there's not enough here to charge her with in essence, a felony, but we could charge you with a federal petite offense, a misdemeanor. Kind of like they were going to do for Petraeus or Deutsch. Charge her with something, a speeding ticket.
Something.
Can you imagine as she steps out onto the stage, they announce charges filed. It would have never happened.
You're right.
It would have never happened. What was the hurry? Look, it comes down to simply this. This isn't the only time that the fix has been in. Normally when the system is rigged, it's again some poor guy who's packed away, who's found guilty of murder, who never did anything, or has witnesses lie against him, or somebody who's on death row because his court-appointed lawyer fell asleep or never had a murder trial. I mean, normally those type of injustices, or Bush against Gore, or others as well, you know, that's the type of thing. This is the same government that charges theft of services. Have you, and the Supreme Court wisely struck that down. Have you ever read the theft of services statute? I don't even know what the hell that means.
I don't know what that is.
Charging, I mean, they're charging elected officials for basically not doing their good job, or doing a good job as a politician, and basically stealing from the people, namely their salary. I mean, it's the most convoluted thing. So, but the point of it goes to show you how the government will go through hoops. It will come up with the most Rube Goldberg of weird theory to get you when they want. But Hillary Clinton, nothing to see here. Remember the Star Wars and Obi-Wan said, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Right.
And the stormtroopers said, these are not the droids we're looking for. It's just, oh, I'm telling you what to say. Nothing to see here, folks.
Why didn't Comey say anything about the Clinton Foundation in this whole thing?
Because he's not charged with that. He was looking at a very narrow thing. Did she violate the rules regarding her maintaining the server? Why does she need a separate server?
There's over 100 emails.
She could have had a private email account because she doesn't want the people to know what she was doing regarding the Clinton Foundation. And read again her lawyers, her counsel.
Oh, yeah.
Did I hear it? Some of this was not made available because her lawyers, what? I didn't hear it. I mean,
they made everybody who worked with her, her counsel, so that they couldn't talk.
Well, let me ask you this question. Here's my favorite. Who was this guy, Pagliano, or whoever it was, her IT guy?
Right.
He took the Fifth for 125 times. For what? She talked for 3.5 hours and walked. What the hell is he taking the Fifth for? Hillary is saying to him, I don't know what you were so worried about. I'm Hillary Clinton. I can just say, ooh. Remember when they asked Obama one time, why do you ever use a BlackBerry? He says, well, you know, I'd like to get my scores, but I got to have one that's okayed and secured, and you can't hack into it, and I got to use just this one, and I got to be very careful. And he was going through how is Hillary going to handle nuclear codes?
With her finger on the button. I feel really comfortable with that. In case you're just joining us,
here's the bottom line. The people who dislike Hillary are going to think this is the worst travesty of all time, and it's not. There are others, because nobody, I'm telling you right now, the people that have been executed in this country who were innocent, that's the travesty.
I agree.
Nothing.
I agree.
Now, the people who are for Hillary are going to say, justice. Justice. Really? Do you think Bush against Gore was justice?
No.
No. So your justice is depending upon who is involved. You know, if you ask the American people, what do you think about the following? Hypothetically, a candidate running for president has a separate server, and you gave all of the facts of the Hillary case, and you ask the American voter, and the voter would say, well, who is it? I'm not going to tell you. Tell me what you think about this. Yay or nay? Well, to the Democrat, Republican, I'm not going to tell you. Americans can't handle cases without knowing who it was.
You're right.
If it was Bush, if it was Clinton, if it was Obama, the results change depending upon whose ox is being gored.
It's awful. It's awful that people think along those lines instead of what's actually right and wrong. You know what I mean?
The worst problem.
Yeah.
This election stinks.
Well, that's true, too.
Imagine this. You're thirsty and you're hungry and you have to eat and you have to drink. And I give you two options. One is a bottle of cyanide. It's killed people. It will kill you. It's got a track record. You know what it does. Every single time. The other option you have is this green, awful, putrid, feculent, fetid, brackish sewer water that glows in the dark and has the worst smell you've ever experienced in your life. Now, you're not sure what that is. It may or may not kill you, but it disgusts you.
It's
now,
off the coast of
want?
Florida right now.
Which one do you want? You tell me. We have no choice. The left-right illusion, the paradigm, is false. It's scripted. The next 25 years are written, no matter who it is. Look, You can be the greatest actress in the world or actor, and I can too. And my Hamlet may be better than Mike Serio's Hamlet, but you know what? It's still Hamlet. And my version of it may be better, but it's not, those aren't my words. I don't have a say in this. And you, this is so rigged, this country. And meanwhile, we are looking at one of the most frightening issues, too. It's hard to say. Hillary Clinton is a Wall Street shill, a puppet, and a warmonger.
You're right.
We're going up to Vladimir Putin. NATO is basically sizing up the teams around the perimeter of the Russian border, and they want to fight. These warmongers, these neocons, the Kagans and the Newlands and the John McCains and the Institute for War guys and central bankers, they want chaos, instability, and Hillary Clinton will give that to them.
And she doesn't care. She doesn't care.
And Vladimir Putin is their Reagan. Whether you like him, don't like him, I don't care. He's their Reagan. And what he's telling them is, folks, nobody respects Russia anymore. They don't fear Russia anymore. Well, you know what? They're going to fear us now. They're going to respect us now. And we just don't seem to get it. Now, meanwhile, you've got Trump, who sounds like a buffoon, like the drunk at the end of the bar, barstool diplomacy, whose idea of explaining, explicating, and limiting his political platforms are great, super, terrific, fantastic, great, wonderful, tremendous, Mr. Superlative. I have no idea what he plans. I have no idea what he has in store. I have no idea. And I do not want any of his Republican cronies anywhere near any decisions of power.
Well, he's not going to be nominated, I don't think, from what I'm reading.
Nominated? He's in. Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
He's in. Oh, he's in. Oh, no. They can't. I mean, listen. The only way he won't be nominated, I don't even want to talk about that, but it involves black helicopters and ninjas, okay? the only way ever. So this is just, and don't put anything past anybody else, because, believe me, you know, this is our fault. You had Bernie Sanders, who basically, another warmonger. How he came across as progressive, I have no idea. I have no idea. This is it?
This is all you got. I know. In case you're just joining us, we've been talking with Lino from linomedia.com, an attorney from New York.
And my Twitter handle is at Lino Media. Look, the good news is, for 240 years, this place, this country has gotten through World War II, a depression, and even the Franklin Pierce administration. Don't think that somehow this is the end of our country. This is the worst time. No, our republic is so brilliantly devised that it will withstand. It will stand. It will exist. In what shape? I have no idea. But, you know, don't, please, the sky is not falling. So I suggest people do the following. Vote for me, write my name in, Lotus, Lionel of the United States, Lotus for POTUS.
He's a write-in.
And I promise that the first thing I will do, if elected, will be to resign. Because this is a joke.
It's terrible.
It's beyond terrible.
I know. And, I mean, I'm just waiting for the UN to come in and monitor our elections because it's getting so bad.
Oh, wouldn't that be terrific? Remember, you know, Diebold. Oh, we're great. You know, who is it? Jimmy Carter's great going into Venezuela. Let's look at ours. And let's look at our superdelegate, proportional voting.
Yeah, what the hell is a superdelegate?
Too late. It's over with. Doesn't matter. That's the rules. Nothing you can do about it. That's the Democratic Party. No court can overrule that, change that. It's a private institution, private organization. It's their rules.
It's crazy.
Well, my friend,
we really appreciate your time.
Again, unfortunately, I must beg off. I hope I've not alarmed anybody. Then again, I do hope I've alarmed somebody, because there's a lot to be alarmed about.
Well, people should wake up, and we really appreciate your time, Lionel.
Let us act as smelling salts. We'll get them out of the coma.
Right on. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a splendid day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
He's amazing, and he's right on target.
Yep.
As always, Lionel from LionelMedia.com. His Twitter handle is Lionel Media.
At Lionel Media, yep.
Yep.
And we've known him, well, Michael's known him
I've known him for 30 years.
Yeah. I haven't known him that long, but I did have an hour to talk with him a couple years ago, and I was just blown away by his intelligence in general about the law. Stay with us. You've been listening to The Doherty Report. We'll be right back right here on The Voice.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is The Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Keep up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. We sure appreciate you joining us this morning on your morning drive. We have a clip or two left to play for you.
Listen to this.
I was this cool high-tech guy when I got there, right?
Yeah.
And I was the first president to have a BlackBerry. And so years pass, and no one else has BlackBerry. And, you know, I still got the clip on the belt.
Oh, my goodness. Right?
And then, finally, this year, they said, good news, Mr. President, we're going to give you a smartphone instead of a BlackBerry. I thought, all right, this is cool. I've been seeing Malia and Sasha doing all this. Michelle's got three of them. She's texting and all this. So I'm excited. I get the thing, and they're all like, well, Mr. President, for security reasons, this is a great phone, state-of-the-art, but it doesn't take pictures. You can't text. The phone doesn't work. You know, you can't play your music on it.
There you go.
So basically, it's...
I mean, even the president, the point is, even the president's phone has the camera disabled and the texting, you know, capabilities reduced. And you can't email and you can't do this, you can't do that.
Okay, well, I don't email on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I don't have contacts in my phone. I take pictures of some things, but mainly it's just food. And I cover the cameras on my electronic devices.
Point is, he paid attention to what he was being told. He knows the capabilities of the phone and how secure or insecure they actually are. Ms. Clinton did not and didn't abide by it.
I don't think she cared. She just figured, you know, she's above it all.
Yeah, well,
and
she's not.
The other problem is she doesn't listen to Secret Service, and they don't like her. So... put that together with a whole White House scenario. That's going to be a fun little time.
All right, Gracie, we got to get out of here.
Thanks for joining us today. Try to stay cool. It's hot out. Really hot. We'll be right here tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on The Voice.
This is The Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.